Welcome to the Mitch Jackson Podcast. During each episode, award-winning trial lawyer Mitch Jackson shares three decades of battle-tested business, entrepreneur, and legal tips to help you build relationships, top-of-mind awareness, and safely do business on the digital platforms. Mitch also enjoys sharing conversations with amazing people from around the world who are disrupting industries and creating positive global change. Wherever you are and whatever you're doing, enjoy today's podcast. And remember to always make each day your masterpiece.
Hooked. Why metaphors should be part of every social media strategy is the title of communication expert Ann Miller's chapter in my new book, The Ultimate Guide to Social Media for Business Owners, Professionals, and Entrepreneurs. You can pick up your copy on Amazon at socialmediabook.online. Before we dive into today's 16-minute interview with Ann, let me share a little bit about her with you. For the past 25 years, Ann's been helping high-profile firms as well as small businesses in media, digital, financial, technology, and professional service industries sell millions of dollars worth of business. That's why I have her on the show. She's really good at what she does. Presentation coach, seminar leader, and speaker, she's the author of the book, The Tall Lady with the Iceberg, The Power of Metaphors to Sell, Persuade, and Explain Anything to Anyone. You guys can connect with Ann at her blog, annmiller.com, and also subscribe to her email newsletter. It's the Metaphor Minute, and you'll see it at the blog. It's fantastic. I read it each and every month. And if you want to reach out to Ann, all this information is included in the show notes, but you can always email Ann at amiller@annmiller.com. That's A-N-N-E Miller.com. Without further ado, Ann Miller. Ann, it's so good to have you on today's podcast. Let's start off with probably one of the most important questions of the day, and that is, in your chapter, you refer to metaphors as brain candy. For listeners not familiar with metaphors, what are they and how can we use them when creating and sharing content on social media?
Well, metaphors at its simplest are comparisons. We don't have to get into the difference between metaphors, similes, and analogies. Just think of it for business purposes as a comparison. And when you use metaphors, they're brain candy because the brain loves images, pictures, videos, and metaphors are simply pictures and words. So they're very important to use in social media. For example, you can call yourself a marketing professional, or you can call yourself a marketing Sherpa. Now, marketing professional conjures up pretty much nothing, but marketing Sherpa conjures up a great leader, climbing mountains. These images are very evocative, and they make people want to know more about you. I mean, another example is someone who has a website that says blog tips, or you have a website that says blog beast. Well, go to the second one? Because again, that conjures up an image of someone who knows how to, you know, big and powerful and goes out and gets things. So that's why metaphors are brain candy. The brain loves images, and you should use them in many different ways in your social media to position yourself, to name your blog as titles of an article. Even in videos, use them. I saw a fantastic video this morning of some sales trainer has a video on LinkedIn where she is in the snow skiing out in Utah. And she starts out by saying, snowshoes require updating your equipment every year. Well, just like snowshoes, your sales skills need updating as well. And then she proceeds to give you three tips for improving your sales. And it's all done against the snowshoe snow metaphor. I don't usually watch those videos, but I couldn't resist that one. And that's because of the imagery and the evocative impact of the metaphor that she used.
I love that, Ann. You know, it's interesting to give context to the listeners. Our relationship goes back a few years where you actually shared a very provocative, emotional, powerful metaphor with me that I was able to use in a closing argument to win a million-dollar case for my clients. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I reached out to you to help with a chapter about metaphors in the new book, because I know that they work. I know that you are the expert when it comes to metaphors. And there's just something special about adding emotion and being provocative and adding intrigue into our marketing and branding messages. And I think in this chapter in the book, Anne, you've done such a good job of taking the reader by the hand, explaining like you just did what a metaphor is, and then showing us how we can use metaphors to do lots of exciting things when it comes to marketing and branding our businesses. So for that, and I haven't formally thanked you for contributing the chapter, I want to thank you because it's made a huge difference with the quality of the book, and it's made a big difference in the lives of my clients. So thanks, Anne, very much. But listen, real quick, because I want to keep moving on, we talk a little bit about in the book, you talk about to tell Joe, but sell to Robin. What is that section all about? Why is it so important to tell Joe, but sell to Robin?
Because when we process information, we do it basically in two ways. One way is logical. Are the facts there? Is it logically correct? But the other way is also the emotional end, the visual way of processing. So you need the logic to justify something, but usually you make a decision because you're emotionally engaged as well. It's like when you go and buy a car, there are certain requirements you have. You know, so the trunk has to be a certain size, it has to be a certain price point, but then you say, oh, but I want it in red. Because it's the combination of that emotion and objective that makes the decision. So if you're online and you're writing a blog, you're posting something, if you can punch it up with something emotional to support your argument, then you're going to have much more of an impact. You'll be much more memorable as well. And that's why you have to tell Joe. Joe is the detective from the old television series where he was just interested in facts. Robin, I use as a metaphor for the emotional, creative, visual side of you is Robin Williams. And you've got to sell to both of them. I always say a committee buy is a committee sell. And you're really selling to two parts of the brain, the logical part and the emotional visual part. And if you only go logical, you're not going to make your sale.
Oh, I love that. I think you're talking about Joe Friday of the show Dragnet. Right. Just the facts, ma'am, right? And Robin Williams, I mean, what a genius. So, yes, there's a huge contrast between approaching life through both of those personalities. I get that. And I just love how in the book you shared that example and why we need to tell Joe but sell to Robin. So thank you for that. And listen, it to me, it's a challenge to come up with a good metaphor for me and maybe many of the readers. It can even be intimidating. Do we need to have the writing talents of Shakespeare to learn how to use metaphors correctly?
Well, that's the beautiful part about using metaphors. You don't, because we all speak in metaphors all the time. Every time you say, boy, he nailed that, or she hit a home run with that presentation, or I don't have the bandwidth to process that, you're already speaking metaphorically. Research shows that you speak in metaphors or analogies every two or three sentences. But what most people don't realize is they do that unconsciously. And what we're suggesting is that you do it intentionally, particularly in a really noisy world. So it's not that hard to come up with a metaphor or an analogy. You just have to know that you should be coming up with a metaphor or an analogy, and then you'll be able to get it. Metaphors like hit a home run, nailed it, those are what I call casual metaphors. Mm. They're very often cliches, and cliches are okay, you know, for normal everyday conversation, but you would be much better making the leap to crafted and creative metaphors to really get people's attention. You know, for example, you could do, let's say you're a financial advisor and you want to write an article on retirement choices. So your headline certainly could be 7 ways to retire or 6 tips for retirement. But that sounds like everybody else's retirement advice. Suppose your headline was catnip or caviar, 7 tips to retire the way you want.
Oh, I like
that's
that.
That's very different. That's very different. And that's a metaphorical title. It's just a matter of thinking a little bit, and then you would come up with it. Or maybe you are in the human resources field or the executive recruitment field, and you're writing an article on how to find a good hire. Again, you could do how to find a good hire, which is not a bad title, but it's like everybody else's. But suppose you put crown jewel or toxic waste, : how to find the best hire. Again, you see how the second one would be much more grabbing than the first?
Absolutely. Oh, it is. And it's the type of, it makes an emotional impact where people listening to the metaphor, whether they realize it or not, they want to take action. And you talk about in the book, and I think you just referenced this about casual metaphors, but there are also high stakes metaphors. Can you share with the reader or with the listener and the readers of the book, maybe the difference between casual and high stakes metaphors? And I think you alluded to it earlier, and maybe some different approaches, techniques, or resources we can use to create or distinguish between the two.
Well, the casual ones are the ones that come to mind right away. They come to mind right away. They come to everybody else's mind right away as well. So maybe you want to step back a little bit and say, what else is this like? What else can I compare this to? And if you play with it a little bit, you will come up with something else. Remember, you could take your analogies and your metaphors from any number of other worlds. Sports is certainly one world, but so is science, so are families, so is education, so is current events. So, for example, maybe you're introducing a new product, and instead of just saying new product or hot off the press, you could play off the current movie scene with the movie A Star Is Born. You could have the headline, Star Is Born. Now everyone knows the movie and they're going to want to know what that's all about. So it's a matter of just stepping back and saying, what is this like in other worlds? And keep going. What is this like? What is this like? What else is this like? What else is this like? I promise you, you will come up with a fresh, crafted, creative metaphor that will work. But by the way, you really should test it on somebody before you use it. because you think it's wonderful. It may not actually be wonderful, but do test it on somebody else.
You can also reach out to somebody else to help you with those metaphors. I think, in all fairness, I was in the middle of a very emotional, high-stakes trial, and I was struggling with finalizing a theme I wanted to use in my closing argument. And I reached out to Anne, I think by email, maybe by phone, I don't remember, but who's the professional when it comes to metaphors and communication. And all I know is later on that night or first thing in the morning, I had a metaphor that I was able to take, use, mold a little bit, take it back into the courtroom and help my clients find justice because of that metaphor. And the jurors afterwards, Anne told me, one reason they awarded the $1 million verdict was because of my closing argument and because of the example or the metaphor that I used. So if you don't have the ability or you don't think you have the ability to come up with your own metaphors, reach out to an expert, reach out to Ann Miller and seek her advice, seek her help with crafting metaphors that will work well for you. Because I think sometimes we all have to learn and stay in our lane. In other words, we're all good at something, right? And for me, it's connecting with jurors, but it's not necessarily coming up with metaphors. So that's why I've got you on my team, Anne, and I value our relationship.
I realize you just did, staying in lane.
No, actually, I didn't even think about that. And it's funny how we use metaphors without thinking about them. Casual metaphors, I think I read someplace, and maybe it was even in your chapter, every three or four sentences. People when they're speaking will oftentimes use a metaphor, a casual metaphor. How do we improve or build or develop our metaphor muscle? I think in the chapter you shared three specific ways we can do that. Can you share those with the listeners on this podcast?
Yeah, there are three ways. One is get into the it's just like habit. So when you're explaining things, even not for business, but to friends, and say it's just like. It's just like. then you begin to exercise that comparison-making muscle. A second way to improve your metaphor-making muscle is to read the papers, particularly the op-ed page of a newspaper. Remember, everyone there is trying to persuade you to a point of view, and they are very, very rich in metaphors and analogies. And in fact, the most abstract the concept, the more metaphors and analogies they use. And there's no reason why you can't start to collect some of these and then adapt them to your world. The third way to improve your metaphor making ability is to listen to good speakers. When you are in the presence of a good speaker, just notice how many times they use metaphors and analogies, just about all the time. And sometimes they close a speech with a metaphor or an analogy, or they open up a talk with a metaphor or analogy. Again, make a note of what they're doing, how they're doing it, and then adapt it to your world. Those are three good ways to improve your ability to create metaphors and analogies to get results online and offline.
I love those three ways, Anne, and thank you for sharing your tips. Thank you for spending time with us today on the podcast. Really appreciate that. There's a fourth way to generate and build and use metaphors, and that's to reach out to you. That's my secret weapon, is to reach out to Anne Miller and have a professional do the metaphor for you, especially if it's a high-stakes metaphor, to help you win your next case, to help you close your next deal, to help you market and brand your company. Anne, if anyone would like to reach out to you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
You can email me at amiller@annemiller.com, and Anne is spelled with an E, amiller@annemiller.com. You can go to the website, annemiller.com, and you can even sign up for the Metaphor Minute newsletter, which features people like your listeners who use metaphors to get the results that they want.
And Anne, I'll share all of those resources in the show notes to the podcast. I subscribe to your email newsletter. I think it's awesome, and it gives me a new idea. Every time I read your newsletter, I come up with a new metaphor idea, and I think that's probably one of the points of your newsletter. So that's one way I build my metaphor muscle, is I digest, and I actually print out your newsletter, I highlight it, and I have a file so that the next time I need to come up with a good metaphor, I can dive into that file, and hopefully you've planted some seeds that will spark some new ideas. I think that was a metaphor, right? And
right.
I also have enjoyed your books over the years. I know I didn't ask you to mention your books, but is there a particular book that maybe you can steer our readers or listeners to if they want to learn more about metaphors that you've written?
Right. The book is The Tall Lady with the Iceberg, The Power of Metaphor to Sell, Persuade, or Explain Anything to Anyone, and it's available on Amazon.
And it's fantastic. Anne, you are wonderful. Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being one of my secret weapons, and thank you for sharing your expertise and time with our listeners today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.